Eli made big plays. Big moment. And the other thing that Eli, for all the criticism that Eli gets, yo, Eli was one of the best at, like, just understanding the pocket and feeling the rusher. Mm-hmm. Where, he was great at those two, three steps, to the top of the scrimmage line, just sidestepping, being elusive. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll never get credit for, obviously, he's not an athletic quarterback, but his durability and just awareness of knowing where the rush is. That's been, to me, outside of like what people see as just normal stuff of Danny Jones, to me, in terms of technical in the film, that's been Danny Jones' biggest weakness. He doesn't know where the fuck the rush is. So a lot of times, the sacks and the turnovers, the fumbles, he creates because he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know where the different defensive ends are at.
I can give you that on Eli was good at that. I was actually pissed, even though I'm not a Giants fan, when fucking Doodoo pulled him and let Geno Smith and broke his record. I was like, yo, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
That
was the thing about Eli is he'll have like a two picks in the first half, and then in the fourth quarter, he's fucking bringing you back from the game.
Yeah.
Like Daniel Jones doesn't have that yet. Well, he hasn't shown that yet. That's the problem. Like when you're like average, or you don't show to be a franchise quarterback, you have to bring something else.
Like
Chad Pennington wasn't a great quarterback, but you know Chad Pennington in the intermediate routes, he was accurate as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had some sort of foundation that you can build on. We don't know what the fuck we could build on with Daniel Jones.
No, that's a fact. That is a fact.
Other than he had like 24, I think it was 24 touchdowns, and he had a crazy touchdown to interception ratio in his rookie year.
The thing is, like, Danny Dimes has like an arm, like as you said, like no awareness. Like he's just all over the place, like all over the place.
He has all the measurables. He's a 6'4". He's a 6'5" quarterback. You know, 228, I think it is. So he has, like, everything. Like, just looking at him, like, he has the height. He has the weight. All that stuff. But come on, man. And it's funny how in football, you coming from Duke is like a joke. But in basketball, you coming from Duke is like the biggest
thing. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got a quarterback, you got a player from Duke. It's like, bro, I on football terms, but in basketball, that's Duke is like,
yeah, that's why everyone, schools. You know, people, that's why Jets fans, they don't want to see another USC quarterback ever again. Mark Sanchez is like, They're like, oh, Darnold got all this tout. And then it's like, all right,
Darnold was like the next Rodgers or some shit.
No, that was ridiculous. Like, he was closer to like a Big Ben than anything just for his size and just being able to run. But he also has turnover problems, man.
I thought Darnold was going to turn out better.
Yeah, but also, like, the Jets fucked him up. Like, they didn't give him anything.
Sanchez was just one of those picks in a weak quarterback class.
It was Stafford. If you didn't get Stafford, you were shit out of luck that year. For Darnold, it was, we just didn't give him anything. Like, legitimately nothing. And everyone's like, oh, well, he can't do this. I'm like, yo, his best wide receiver was Robbie Anderson. What the fuck do you want him to do with Robbie Anderson? what are we asking from him from here? Like, that's nothing. And then our running back situation, Le'Veon Bell was a dud at that point. Like, we gave the guy nothing and then Adam Gase. I will say, when I was in Albany, because that's where the Giants had their training camp, yo, Giants were like... Like, when they won the Super Bowl there for, like, 07, 08, because we're right on the border, like, of Massachusetts. Dudes from Mass came to Albany to, like, celebrate because they thought the Patriots were going to win that year.
I don't know what CT was doing. But when the Giants won the first Super Bowl, I didn't come home till like, 7 a.m. I was in Times Square all night in the streets, bugging. You know, people were jumping cars. I went from Jersey to Manhattan all in one night because I saw the Super Bowl in Jersey.
Oh, nice.
I was in Woodbridge, New Jersey, saw the Super Bowl there with a few friends. From there, I went to Times Square because my friend told me that, yo, they stopped traffic here. Like, no cars can move. So I'm like, I got to go see that. So I'll go over there. Man, all night, like the whole, like a 10-block radius, there's no traffic for like 4 hours to like 5 a.m.
God damn.
Yo, they were bugging. The streets were full. It was, I have Facebook videos of it on my Facebook account.
Oh, that's wild.
It was, I lost my voice. Took me like 3 days to get my voice. It was the craziest experience ever.
Every car that had a mask plate that was in Albany legit got flipped. Like, people were not fucking, because people were like coming, legit coming heavy for masks, just like rubbing in the face, because they knew Albany was where the Giants were training. Yo, cars were getting flipped. Like, not like there was no tomorrow. It was wild. Wild. Albany is like, well, fucking Albany is just ridiculous. No one gives a shit about anything up there. We'll destroy anything.
That dad lives in Manhattan, and when the Giants, the day of the Super Bowl, he took his car to the Bronx to a family member's parking lot and parked it there, because he's like, yo, if the Giants win tonight, I'm not about to have some fucking crazy guy overnight just destroy a window or some shit, because that happens, bro.
Yeah. Quit this shit. Oh, man.
Quit this shit, too. All right. Here we are talking football. This is a Knicks night. That should tell you how the Knicks are doing.
Dude, if I'm looking forward to Jet stuff at this point, then you know I'm down bad. They haven't given anything good to me in like since 2010.
Yo, I saw one highlight today of Jaden Ivey. I said, yo, we got to get this kid, bro.
Mm-hmm.
He, oh my God. He had a dunk today that all I thought about was Ja Morant. I'm about to put it in the
I've been doing tankathon, just doing that type of stuff, seeing where we're landing. Twice already. Bro, I've jumped from either the first or the second for the two times I did it for the Knicks.
Yo, check that shit I sent you, Alex. Look at his demeanor. Look at the way he looks at the camera. Like, everything
was good the way it was. All these guys are great dunkers. We just came out here.
Feed and chatter. And by chatter, I just mean the guys calling us Dwayne Wade and Reggie Miller in particular. Dwayne Wade and Reggie Miller in particular had some chatter during the contest.
Yo.
Yeah, I'm about to play that.
What's that? He did that today. I said, that's it. Yep, tank. Fuck it.
Yo, get this kid on the Knicks.
Get this kid on the Knicks, bro. We got to try to get to six spot and then pull a Trae Young, Luka shit and just trade up, sell everything. I don't give a fuck.
This is the dude.
Bro, I saw that and I said, that's it. I'm done.
Check one.
You got to get him.
That's the dude. Yeah, no, that's the dude. That's the dude. That's the dude.
Check,
that's the
check,
dude we need on the
check,
team.
Check, CP should CP
check,
fucking
check.
Play that shit in the show.
Check. Hang on.
You try to get some
that
sort
dude.
Of rhythm and consistency, and that's
where'd you get this Tibbs joint from, bro? Oh, you clipped it yourself.
Yeah, I clipped it myself. You can play it at any point, or you can segue it to the lineup,
dude,
or whatever you want to do. But it's a good. He says good things that could
you
take it a different way.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm trying to position it out of this DM box.
You need
hang
to
on,
email real quick.
Hang on. Okay, I think I got it. Hold on. I think I got it. I'm supposed to start this thing at 10 o'clock.
We'll start this shit at 9:30.
Bro.
They're like, yo, trying to wait for the All-Star game. What the fuck?
I'm in the off-season right now, man. I'm in All-Star break mode, man.
Yeah, it's like, we got to run the show, so we got to do it. But it's like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, we're... All right, hold on. Okay, I think I got it. Well, good now.
Yo, let me ask you this, though.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I can say that to the show. I was going to say, are we going to be surprised when you're live?
What's best for...
Let's talk in the show. Hold on. All right.
Let's talk on that show. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. I'm ready.
Let it cook, man. Let it cook.
took me 2 hours to get my act together. Man. All right. Hold on.
You over here, yo. I'm going live. I don't know what you're doing. Fuck you, I don't know what you're doing. What you been doing?
Yo, he sent me the yo. I was in here like 10 to 10.
Bro, I've been ready since 9, bro. He never puts the link in the Slack. I've been ready since 9.
Oh, man. Good times. All right. Start this thing up. Start it up.
He's got to go like a true Jamaican, come out with the hat on the side like this.
So let me check in the back. All right. Here we go. Sunday night edition of Knicks Fan TV Live presented by Manscaped. Knicks Weekly, the weekly recap show where we go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. That was New York Knicks. And look forward.
Recording in progress.
To the week ahead. CP the Franchise, Alex Rattaro, Stratacast, and JD Sports Talk in the building. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. It was a rough week for the Orange and Blue, man. 0-2 this week. Meltdowns, collapses, whatever you want to call it. 25-34 in the campaign. 3.5 games out of the 10th spot. And Tom Thibodeau is searching for answers. So we're going to talk about that. But we're also going to talk about slam dunk contest. We actually won something for a change. Shout out to Obi Toppin for coming through last night in what was the worst dunk contest in NBA history. But he's still represented for us. And we're going to get into all of that right now. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Let me turn down the All-Star game. And in particular, let me turn down Reggie and Dwayne Wade. Can't believe they brought these two back again after last night's theatrics. I can't even listen to what's going on in the All-Star game. But nevertheless, back to the Orange and Blue fellas. 25-34. Came off of an embarrassing week in which we lost the game to the Thunder, a young Thunder team under man, no Shai Gilgeous. The defensive stopper, Lu Dort, was injured. Nevertheless, Josh Giddey, Trey Mann, and company made a valiant comeback, took this thing into overtime. Well, the Knicks brought it into overtime because we ended up losing. And ultimately losing the game. Then you go in, battle of the boroughs in your own building. No KD, no Kyrie, no Ben Simmons. 28-point lead, evaporated. 18-point fourth quarter lead. And the Knicks go down in disgrace. So, again, looking for answers, man. Looking for answers. Now, here was, you know what? Before I even get to Tibbs' comments, Al, I'm going to start with you, man. Just, your thoughts on the week that was, man.
It was a rough week, man. Like, there's no other way to put it. We lost 3 winnable games to the Trailblazers, the Thunder, and then the down bad Brooklyn Nets. And we had leads on all of them, right? I don't know what – I mean, everyone's right now complaining about Tibbs and his rotations, but, you know, I've been thinking about it this entire week. Now that I've been able to cool off from seeing that terrible Nets game. But I think if you're going to blame anybody, you got to blame everybody, right? Like, you got to blame the front office. You got to blame the coaching staff. You got to blame some of the players too. Like, from the front office, you know, what I was thinking about is you look at – they have this long-standing relationship with Tom Thibodeau, right? They know he's a defensive-minded coach. They know that if that's the thing that he prioritizes, why would you bring in guys like Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, who are offensive-driven players, where you know Tibbs has never coached an offensive style whatsoever, but yet you want to bring these two guys in. And then to read that, you know, you hear World Wide West pointing the fingers at Tom Thibodeau, but you greenlit these guys to come in. You know, Tiz wants to protect the point of attack. So then why even bring all these guys in? Sure, I know the point guard market wasn't that great. You signed Kemba before, you signed Evan before Kemba, so you didn't know if Kemba was going to be available or not. But still, if you're thinking about adding pieces, you got to add pieces that make sense for what this guy wants to do. And if he wants to coach a defensive team, they have to be gritty. They have to be aggressive. So bringing guys like Kemba and Evan Fournier just doesn't make sense. And on top of that, they made this rotation much more difficult for him to manage as well. You know, if they want to see some of the youth play, why would you sign so many veterans to this roster and then put Tibbs in a position where he has to play someone like Evan Fournier because of his contract, have to play Kemba Walker and have him say that he's only a starter because of his name and cachet that he has around the league? You put him in a difficult position as well. So I think it's everyone gets it. Like, we can talk about how Julius hasn't given his full effort. We can talk about Tom Thibodeau's strategy in games and, like, late game execution, misuses of timeouts and so forth. But I don't think the front office can get away that easily without taking some of the blame for how Tibbs has been handling this roster whatsoever. That's my takeaway from this week.
Yeah. I think for me and LeBron's team wins the All-Star game. It was an embarrassing week, man, to see us lose that 28-point lead, 18 in the fourth against a severely undermanned Nets team. Losing those leads has just been a trend. It goes before this week, goes back before this week. The whole West Coast trip, they had sizable leads, whether it was a 23-point lead against the Blazers. You know, you had a double-digit lead against the Jazz. Obviously, the Golden State game was great, but, you know, these games were just super demoralizing. And then to lose to a young Thunder team where you're out there playing most of your vets, and you're losing to this young upstart Thunder team, I think that was almost the icing on the cake, even though it happened before the Nets game. You know, it was kind of like the icing on the cake in terms of it just really exposed this Knicks team as far as, you know, this season just being a disaster, man, this season being a failure so far. I don't see them rebounding from this. So I think that was disappointing. You know, the defense has taken a large step back. I think the last 10 games they've been probably about 25th in the league in defense, 23rd in net rating. You know, they've given up a ton of points, over 100, you know, these last 10, and these last two gave up a ton of points against a OKC team who's 30th in the league in scoring, and then again a severely undermanned Nets team. You know, gave up a ton of points, gave up 111 points to that Nets team. So this is a team searching for answers, as you said. It was reported this week as well that World Wide West, there's a lot of finger pointing going on right now. World Wide West pointing fingers at Tibbs to blame. But this is their hand-picked coach. So you picked this guy. This is the guy you had the best relationship with. And then on top of that, the pieces that you thought were going to come in here and help bolster this offense has not only not done that, but it's brought the whole team down. Then you talk about the injuries, so on and so forth. So overall, just a bad week and, you know, a lot of soul searching going into the second half, man. JD, your thoughts?
I think for me, like you said, it's to me it's the worst week period of the whole season, just because so many things on the negative side, so many things have been exposed, so many things have happened from an organizational standpoint, from a public relations standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint, from a team standpoint, like you name it. I think you start with the RJ incident. I mean, I continue to be so upset about what happened. I continue to have nightmares about it. I continue to, you know, see games that, like, you know, those leads we had against the Nets and think about, you know, maybe the result would have been different if RJ was playing. You know, we talked about the moment he had, you know, in that Laker game where he hit that shot at the buzzer, where he was able to be on the floor with LeBron James for the first time since 2020 of January, because LeBron hasn't played against the Knicks the last few matchups before that, and how that was the big moment for his development. That was a big moment for his confidence. And then to see, you know, what happened in Denver, I think it was the beginning of everything that transpired after that, with us having a, you know, a big lead. We had a 21-point lead against the Lakers. We had a 23-point lead against the Blazers. We had a 28-point lead, as everyone knows, to the Nets. And you don't win any of those games. You lose against OKC and the Blazers with nobody in the middle of, you know, them pivoting and just making moves. So they're in a transition phase, and we think you catch them at the right moment, and you don't. And then from a coaching standpoint, just head-scratching decisions, not knowing, you know, about the challenge, looking like Joe Judge out there, you know, like you don't know what – I mean, timeouts you have. You don't know what challenges you have. You don't know this. You don't know that. It's just been tough, man. And then ending it with the whole PR stuff of, you know, Wesley and those reports. And then now here we are, you know, wondering – you know, will the coach the rest of the season? You know, what's going to happen now after this break? Who's going to come back? Who's still going to be out? I mean, you talk about a mess. You know, this last few games, you know, this last week or so has been a mess. And I'll end it with this. You know, I was looking at these games against Brooklyn, Randle, 31 points, the team high. OKC, Randle, high, 30 points. Blazers, Randle, high, 28 points. Golden State, Randle with the high, 28 points. We won that game. Denver, he's the high with 28. Utah, he's the high with 30. You know, a lot of those games last year, we win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Randle's giving you some production, and it's not impacting the end result. And I think that's, you know, in addition to the coaching, also think that is an illustration to their defense.
Defense, 100%.
It's taking a big step back, because – when you look at Randle being the high, also look at how many points the other team scores. 111, 127, 132, 122, 120. Like, these are points that the Knicks of last season did not give up. Mm-hmm. And I think it speaks a little bit to the personnel issue on this roster. But I also think it speaks to the coaching, because when you see that, and for you not to look at other avenues and resources and options for the rest of your team, I don't care if you got to go look at the G League, but – you not to extend all those options, I think it speaks to coaching as well.
The defense has fallen off a cliff, man. As I said, last 10, they're 25th. So they're in the bottom quadrant of the league. And as you said, if the coach is not making the proper adjustments and you know, emphasizing his more defensive-minded players, then, again, we're looking at the definition of insanity here. And this is what we're seeing with this team. Because, like you said, last year, this team has not given up that many points to this type of OKC team. You know, the worst offense in the league. They're not losing that game against the Nets up 28 points. I mean, it's just abysmal. And another, I think another frustrating part of it is, I think for at least the last 10 games, you're seeing them play at a much faster pace, at least in the first half, which is helping them offensively. But then second half, once that other team, number one, makes adjustments, number two, plays harder, puts in more energy, we tend to fold. We go away from what's been working. We go back to force-feeding Julius. When that doesn't work, the defense falls off. And then, again, it all comes snowballing downhill. So They've got to figure that out, because things have looked really, really good starting these games. They've set a good tone starting these games, pushing the pace, playing a lot faster, whether it's through Randle, or, you know, when RJ was healthy, through RJ. They've got to figure that out and see how can they sustain it? You know, maybe playing that fast is not sustainable throughout a full 48 minutes, but how do they continue to keep the ball flowing, to continue to have, you know, continuity offensively for 48 minutes so that things aren't getting bogged down? Let's get to Tibbs' comments. Which everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks Weekly presented by Manscaped. Let's get to Tibbs' comments after the Nets game. And here what do you have to say? Hang tight. Let me pull this up. I thought I just had it. Hang on. Oh, I know what I did here. Hang on. I know what I did here. Okay. We get to the Tibbs comment, and then we'll get everybody's reaction to it. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Okay, here's Tibbs.
Well, you try to get some sort of rhythm and consistency, and that's what we've been lacking. So, you know, everything's on the table now. It has to be. So, and it's got to be merit-based. I'm not going to just give minutes just to give minutes. Mm. So that's not happening. You earn what you get. Well, you'd look at everything. You know, what are you going to do? Like, how are we going to manage this? So it has to be merit-based. You know, like if a guy is playing good, he plays, you know. And if the team is functioning well when he's on the floor, he should play. That's the most important thing. The team has to come first for everyone. This can't be about what's best for any one individual. It's what's best for the group. That's the way it has to be. And we all have to do, you know, we got a chance to reset here. We all have to take a hard look at what's going on, and we got to figure out how we can do it better.
All right, so Tibbs says everything is on the table, but he's not just going to throw guys out there just for the sake of it. Al, your thoughts? Everything is on the table. Your thoughts?
This is like hedging his bet. All like this is the biggest hedge I've heard in my life. I really want to see a different lineup after this break. But with that type of notation from Tibbs, it sounds like we may get the same thing, and he's going to see who earns it, you know, holding everyone accountable, even though it hasn't been necessarily done properly this entire season. That's what I get from it. I'm expecting to see the same rotation coming out of this break. But I think for Tibbs, what he's trying to get at is that if he sees, like, someone like Cam put in that work, then Cam's probably going to get more minutes. You know, if Deuce is back in the rotation again from what we've seen from Kemba and maybe needing to get an extra like 10 minutes for another point guard out there. I think he's trying to hedge his bet saying, hey, we're going to get some young guys in there, but it's not going to be guaranteed that they're going to get a lot of minutes or they're going to get a lot of burn out there. They still have to work because I don't think they're necessarily ready enough to be playing at this level, but we'll try to get them and work them in into the rotation as best as possible as we close out this season, because I think Tibbs and I think the front office is realizing that this season the plan isn't worth it for them. I think it's worth it for them to go into the lottery. You know, I was listening to shout out to Alan Hahn on Barton Hahn, and they had Van Gundy on recently, and you hear Jeff Van Gundy talking about how, you know, this team shouldn't make the play-in, and I agree with them, because it gives this false sense of like security that, oh, you can just perform like this and that you can get into the play-in and then try to flip a switch and then really turn it up once you get there. And the fact of the matter is that this is not this team. This team is not one that can just flip a switch. They're not a LeBron James. They're not Kevin Durant. The way they've been playing these last couple of games is how they need to start the beginning of this season. And that's where you put some blame on the players. Where was this effort and where was this energy at the beginning? Maybe this season could have ended up differently. You could have been in a position to be in the play-in. You could have been in the position to be in the playoffs, maybe at a sixth seed at best. But I think for right now, I think there's communication between the front office and Tibbs, and that's what his statement is saying, that we're going to start focusing on the youth. And, you know, they're just not going to get all the minutes that you want to see. But I expect the same rotation based on that comment from him.
Yeah, I think, as you said, he seems like he is open to playing the youth, but it's not going to be a complete full starting five of just, you know, all young players. I think what he says would make sense if they weren't so trash on the court. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
his philosophy of putting rookies in a position to succeed for the betterment of the team, right? You know, sometimes you throw in a rookie out there, and if he's not elevating the team, well, that's hurting the development of the other players as well. So as he's saying, it's not just about the benefit of one guy. It has to benefit the team. But at the end of the day, through these 59 games, team's not flowing through the guys that they have right now. Offensively, inconsistent. Defensively, disaster. So something has to give. We've got to shuffle the deck a little bit. Doesn't seem like it's going to be a full slate of changes, but I think he has to, because right now, if this thing keeps going the way it's going, he may not make it to year three. JD.
You know, I also think it's interesting that, you know, on Wednesday, January 26th, we're at Miami, you know, speaking to Alex's point about Jeff Van Gundy the other day on Alan Hahn, Barton Hahn. And, you know, Jeff Van Gundy making those comments. If you've paid attention, Jeff Van Gundy, who is obviously a respected coach and a lot of fans would love for him to coach the team, including UCP, he's made a lot of eye-popping remarks on the current team and current guys that Tibbs has out there. And in that game against Miami, he questioned, you know, the lineups, in a sense that he said changes are going to have to be made. You can't keep doing this. He questioned our effort. He questioned our heart. He questioned our energy. And then since that game, we've played 10 games, 10 additional games of the same thing. Of the same thing. So everyone tries to tell me that let's trust Tibbs. Tibbs is the one that's watching these guys on practice. Tibbs this, Tibbs that. Well, you talk about an ally. You talk about a confidant. You talk about the guy that he used to be his assistant coach. Jeff Van Gundy is identifying some things. And then for us, 10 games after that, to not see any changes and to see the results, we've won 3 games in 16, from 3 in our last 16 games with 3-13. I mean, listen, man, it's frustrating. And, you know, to his remarks, he started so well. I got excited. Oh, yes, everything's on the table. Let's go. Here come the kids, baby. Let's go. And then he goes, well, it's not going to happen. I'm not giving everyone minutes. Yo, you talk about ebbs and flows. You talk about changing your emotions. I was hyped when I saw the tweet, and then I look at the interview. He goes, well, you know, just not going to play anyone. And then when he says, when he says that it's not about one guy, like it's not about one specific guy, I think that's also interesting, CP, because at this time of the season, OKC, the Detroit Pistons, like these teams, they are focusing on specific players on their team that they want to kind of, you know, extend more and play more and learn more about. And Thibodeau is not with that. And so you have some players on this team that you could say, you know what, let's switch up the system and let's run some plays to this guy. Let's start running some pick and rolls, even though that's not really what we've been doing with Obi. Let's see how Obi responds to that. You know, let's bring Reddish off the bench and let's run some plays to him. Let's make him the focal point. Let's see how he responds to that. Those are some things that other organizations, they like to get to on the last 20, 15 games of season. Tom Thibodeau does not sound like a person that's open to those ideas. And to me, when I see that attitude, man, I don't know, man. I don't know if anything is going to change. I'm hoping it does. Maybe the report, the leak, Ian Begley reporting, maybe that switches. Maybe they've had conversations now. But if you ask me, if Tom Thibodeau is still the head coach of this team tomorrow, then I'm looking at that Phoenix game, after that Phoenix game, because I think, you know, you got Miami on ESPN, you got Philly on ABC, you got Philly again on ESPN. You got, you talk about our next five games are on national television, not NBA TV national television, ESPN and ABC national television. You talk about commentary during these games is going to be about our dysfunction and what's been going on.
It's going to be a cesspool, man. It's going to be a
cesspool. It could get ugly.
It's going to get ugly, man.
So I'm looking at it like if you're Dolan, right, and let's say you wanted to make a move, I could understand not doing it in All-Star break. You don't want to take some, you know, OBs out there. You don't want the conversation to become about what the Knicks did. You don't want that out there on national TV. And then when you look at the schedule, I could see them thinking about making a move after this stretch because you look at those teams, I don't know where you see a W right now.
It's going to be very interesting because, as you said, likely going to get destroyed on national TV. And with that media attention stirring the pot, how much of that pressure leads Dolan to make a move? You know, Dolan responds to that, whether it's from the fans or the media or the combination of those two. Does he make that move? You know, does he force Leon's hand? I don't see Leon pulling the trigger that quick on his hand-picked coach. I just don't see it. I think, you know, the issues of a disconnect between front office and coach, how true it is, and how bad is it, right? I don't think every organization is not, you know, in sync from a player personnel standpoint and so on. Front offices have their philosophies. Coaches has their philosophies. You're not going to get everybody you want. You're not going to get everything that you want. But how deep is the divide between Tibbs and the front office? I think it is very interesting because I don't know if we really know that. Like, how deep is it? Is it that deep where, you know, Tibbs can't see himself aligning with the vision, quote unquote, of Leon, Perry, and Wes? Or is it something where they say, okay, this year didn't work, back to the drawing board, we try to trade off some of these vets, get some better complementary pieces in here, focus on the draft, get you an offensive coordinator, please get this guy offensive coordinator for year next year, and try it again for year three. You know, I think that's the question now. I don't know how big that gap is between front office and Tibbs.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ian also reported in that same article, it's natural for a lot of organizations to have that disconnect, disagreement. You're not always going to see eye to eye on everything. And look, we saw that from the same report last year from your own Wiseman, how they were talking about how Worldwide West wanted IQ, how, you know, Tom Thibodeau wanted X players, you know, he wanted Derrick Rose. And it seemed Leon Rose last year was able to facilitate it where everyone got everything that they wanted throughout the season, right? So, but you see, like, within that same article, they talked about disagreements, how they were not necessarily cutthroat, but it's just, you just saw natural disagreements in what they wanted for the team and how they saw it moving forward. And we're seeing again this season, and to your point, you'd be like, we don't know. We're not in that office. And if you want to see how some organization goes see tonight, how this KFTV lineup prediction.
Oh, we got lineup predictions.
Where we're not all in sync, but hey, that's the nature of the game, right? Yeah, any organization, you're going to see some hiccups, you're going to see some a little disconnect. You know, the thing is, can they course correct and can they come back next season? Can they get that offensive coordinator for Tom Thibodeau if he's back again next season saying, hey, man, this is your weak point. We need to bring in somebody to help you, and this is the guy who's going to be drawn up on the board, not you, okay? Does the front office remove some of the guys saying, hey, we're not going to give you a stacked rotation and we're going to force your hand to play Quentin Grimes more? Or we're going to force your hand to play Deuce McBride more so these guys get some more minutes, as well as Cam Reddish? That's something the front office has to realize and help their head coach as well, and not just put him in a position on an island to figure that all for himself.
CP, I have a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. Seeing what happened with the leak, right? Because that's the other thing is, somebody leaked that. Maybe it was Worldwide West himself, or maybe it was Scott Perry. Somebody did. So there was intention here, right? Because look at the timing. Look at the timing of it, right? After this net game and all that stuff. So these things don't happen without some type of agenda or intention.
Mm-hmm.
When you see that, is there anything fishy to you about the Rosas hire? Do you think anything of it, or do you think it's just it was just because when I look at it, I start to think,
yeah,
I don't know. It could be fishy.
Well, for one, could that be Perry's replacement? Could that be Perry's ultimate replacement? Who knows? Or could he be the guy that helps get the next GM, right? Because Rosas is here as a consultant. Consultants come in to typically, you know, in most business cases, to improve some sort of process, right? He's a consultant to President and Basketball Operations. Is there something within operations that he's helping with? Is it scouting? Is it, you know, player personnel? Is it contract negotiations? Is it salary cap? Is it going out and finding the next GM for the team? So I think it could be anything at this point. It's hard to really know. You know, it's hard to know. But I think, you know, when he first got hired, I think especially around the trade deadline, a lot of people say, well, they don't know now. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They aren't hiring this guy to trade deadline. I didn't necessarily see it that way. He's a guy that, despite, you know, whatever reason he was ousted from the Timberwolves, it wasn't anything basketball related. You had players coming to bat for him. You had people around the league speaking highly of his resume, of his ability to, you know, find some diamonds in the rough. Timberwolves certainly are a pretty decent team this year based on some of the players that he found. So I would accept that to help this team. Now, does it lead to too many chefs in the kitchen or some stabbings in the back? That's left to be seen. And this is the Knicks, so anything is possible.
I think Wesley wants Tibbs gone. Like, if I had to guess, I think they see already. Because again, it goes with the leak. You don't leak something like that. Like, you could leak a report saying that you don't see eye to eye, that you think of a certain philosophy, and the coach thinks of a certain philosophy. Like, that's all whatever. Like, you know, everybody, you know, you get together, you figure it out. Mm-hmm. But for you to leak that you went to the owner of the whole thing, and of all owners, James Dolan, and you told Dolan, listen, man, that guy is a big reason why we are where we are. To me, that tells me that you want to influence the owner to think a way or to make a certain move. You want to convince him to go a certain route. And when that happens, I think they want him gone. I think what it is they are trying to be careful about Johnny Bryant, who I think would take over. Mm. Do you want to fire Tibbs now and then have Johnny Bryant go out there on national TV in the next five games and get slaughtered?
Get smoked.
You know what I mean? Like, is that that's how you want to introduce? Because remember, this would be the second hire of this front office.
Right.
Not many front office get a third. This will be your guy. So part of me thinks, man, maybe they just do wait to the offseason, give Johnny Bryant a whole offseason, give him a full training camp, like just a clean slate, different air, and you put the guy that you want in a best position for him to just get off, you know, in a better slate in now when things just don't look right. So I think that is a big part of them deciding when to make the move is, all right, we want to make the move, but how do we also get this guy to be successful?
And to even add on to your point, JD, just let's think about what happened to Fizdale and with Mike Miller, right? And all the backlash that Mike Miller had to, not him personally, but the team that they were getting when Mike Miller was at the head coach, and just being in that position of always being the point of contact saying, hey, what's going on over here? Like, how are you handling the situation? What's going on behind the scenes? Are you getting, you think you'll be here next year? Are you getting all that you need from the front office? If Johnny Bryant is going to be that guy that they want to succeed after Tom Thibodeau, then you don't want to put him in this position. And this is where
it makes sense
for Ian, what he reports saying, you know, with winning coach of the year that it seems like he would get until the end of the season because of that, because of one, what he did last season, and just as a courtesy. Also, I just think league-wide, if you're the guy, if you're the front office that picked Tom Thibodeau and then you fired him a year and a half during a season, how does that look to the rest of the league? You know, that's a big
after
question.
After a good one that they had. After a good one that they had, whether you want to say it's fool's gold or not, you know, I at the earliest sign of adversity, you're going to clip the guy when the roster's not complete. You know, I'm a firm believer.
The problem is he's not coaching the way the front office – his style is not matching to the way the front office wants. I'm assuming. And I think that's the biggest issue, even if – this happened so early and it's year two, that's the issue. That's the part of it. Like if this was happening with a mix of everyone, you know, and all the draft picks are playing, then yeah, you just live with it, you know, give them to the end of the season, maybe even start next season. But the problem is you continue this on, you're going to continue to see his same stubborn approach. That is what the front office is trying to break through. And I don't know that anyone can break through that philosophy of Tom Thibodeau. You just heard his comments saying, listen, I'm not giving everyone minutes. It ain't about one player. It's about the team. If a player is playing well and the team is functioning, that player is going to play. And even that statement is questionable because, you know, we've seen a lot of different examples. So I think the biggest issue in all of this right now is his style of coaching is just not clicking with the way the front office wants to operate.
Yeah, I think for the
front office too, right, is that I don't think they were also expecting the rebuild to happen that quickly after one season, where I think they were looking for him to create this foundation of being competitive, going through a few, like two rough seasons until they could even break, like being even playoff relevant. But it happened so quick that now they were like, well, maybe – he already set the foundation. Maybe these guys are already working hard enough. Maybe we can already move off from him and go to Johnny Bryan if that's the next guy. You know, that's just my thought as well.
I just think, look, yes, they need to get on the same page as far as can he carry out their vision as it pertains to his rotations, X's and O's, and so on. But I also think they have to help him by getting the proper pieces. I'm a guy, listen, it's a player's league. Players play. Players play, man. Yes, the coach is there for a certain reason. The X's and O's have to be right. You want to be motivating in players. You want to be developing. But we also need the talent. And I don't see any coach coming in here and saving this team with Julius Randle at the helm and no legit option to run your point, to run your offense. I just don't see it. And that's why I'm leery of everybody say, oh, bring in Johnny Bryan. If we don't have the patience for Tibbs, for Fizdale, for Mike Miller, for this guy, for that guy, where after a year and a half, 2 years of adversity and losing, Johnny Bryan's going to suffer the same fate if you don't get him the proper pieces. Because we can talk all this. We want to see the youth. But in the back of our minds, we also want to see wins. And when you don't win and you're losing the way we are, he's going to be out the door quick, fast, and in a hurry, just like the ones before him. So to me, I think it's up to the front office. They have a bigger job in year three of this rebuild to put some pieces in here. Again, we're not trying to get to a championship right now. We understand it has to be realistic. We want steps. You can't skip steps. Some teams get lucky and can, but naturally you can't. Can they put the pieces in here that can be a complementary, cohesive team where we can get to the next step? And I just, right now, until then, I don't see which coach is going to come in here and be that savior. Look at Popovich in San Antonio. Where's his horses right now? Is he a bad coach? Is he all of a sudden a bad coach? Because he doesn't have his guy. Jonte Murray's looking like a damn star out there. The Spurs have been struggling. You know, I just use that as one example. You still need the players, man. And we're just not there. This year was a dud.
And that's why, to my point, like I said, the blame has to go to everybody. Because if you go to the players, right, What if Julius Randle was playing the way he was playing right now at the beginning of the season and not taking possessions off, not just trotting back on defense, not trying to do moves that didn't make sense to his game, right? Maybe we have a different outcome. You know, this is where I also say, like, back to the front office, like, if you know who Tibbs is as a coach, you have to bring in the guys to play that defensive effort and that defensive intensity that he's looking for. Like, you know he's not an offensive guy. Maybe you say, hey, we know this guy's not an offensive guy. If Mike Woodson was that guy last season, then you have to replace Mike Woodson to help create that offense, if that's what he was doing last season. So this is where the front office takes blame. This is where I look at the players, too. And on top of that, like, this season, like, we've lost Derrick Rose, right? He had this mid-season ankle surgery that came out of left field when that report dropped. Noel has been in and out. Mitch doesn't always, like, he's been playing most of the games, but sometimes he hasn't been able to complete the games, too, because of injury, whether it's tweaking an ankle or his back. So this season has just gone awry, and it's not necessarily all to Thibodeau, but you can blame everybody who's involved with it. Everyone takes some sort of blame, and there's just stuff that just came out of nowhere that no one was expecting. I think if you said to anybody that, hey, this team's not going to have Derrick Rose for about 2 months, how do you think this team's going to do when your second unit's the best offensive unit that you have? I think people would say this team's probably not going to be pretty good. And if I told you, hey, we're not going to have Nerlens Noel, Mitch is going to be injured, he's not going to be in full condition yet to go play at the high level that we're known for him playing at. I think if you hear all those things and you add all those things up to it, you're like, yeah, this team pretty much sounds like where it's supposed to be right now. So it's not just on Tibbs, although we can, like, don't get me wrong, like, Tibbs is at fault for how he's been calling plays, X's and O's, late game execution, how he utilizes his timeout. He is not shielded from anything. He is part of this mess too. Okay. He does not walk away without any blame for how this season has unfolded. But it's not just one person. This entire team has just gone sideways.
Is that UCP setting it up for your lineup? Is that what you're going
to get to lineups? We're going to get to lineups. All right,
because I felt a little funny about your explanation.
Look, the
build-up here.
We're going to get to the lineups, family. Let me hit the reset. So salute to Super Chat, salute to chat, and then we're going to get to the lineups, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Knicks Weekly presented by Manscaped, CP the Franchise, JD Sports Talk, Alex Rotaros, recapping the week that was for the New York Knicks. And looking forward to the week ahead, man. What changes will Tom Thibodeau make? What changes do you guys want to make, man? Leave us some comments in the chat. Leave us some comments in the comment section below. Salute to the replay gang, those of you that are watching, catching up, whether it's later on tonight or the day after. Remember that the show is presented by Manscaped, fellas. Go out and go get your Lawnmower 4.0, number one men's grooming tool below the waist. But not only that, because Manscaped is not only taking care of you and the crown jewels, but they're taking care of everything else from head to toe, man. And like I said, you got new products in from Manscaped, your body wash, your shampoo and conditioner. They have new deodorant, new moisturizing spray. So go out and get that. They got the lip balm, the ultimate premium package by Manscaped, man. We just laced the team. The whole team is laced now with Manscaped products. So as you see here, this is all a part of the ultimate premium package. If you go to manscaped.com, you'll see it right there on the front page. Add it to the cart and enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. Manscaped always taking care of the Knicks fan TV viewers. So salute to our friends over there at Manscaped. Also, let me salute the super chats that have come in. Shout out to Loyal T. $5 super chat. He says, if everything is on the table, then Tibbs got a week to figure out how to set the table, work the kids in, mix it up some way, somehow, figure it out. Paul Robinson says, the youth may result in more wins. They're solid. Okay. All right, fellas. So as we said, as Tibbs has said, everything is on the table. Knicks start off Friday the 25th at home against the Miami Heat. So let's talk about some lineup predictions, fellas. Some lineup predictions. Where do you think the Knicks go here in the rotation? JD,
I can't wait to see CP's. Just so you guys know, I don't know the picks. You know, CP never wants to tell us anything, any of his predictions. He always wants to wait till we're live. So there's always, you know, an agenda here. So let's see what CP has.
Let's start with you since you volunteered. Let's start with your lineup here. And as we present it to the fans, we got JD starting five, Deuce McBride, Quentin Grimes, RJ at the three, Julius, Mitch, bench, IQ, Fournier, Reddish, OB, and Sims. JD, your thoughts here.
Well, I mean, listen, I think it's unlikely that he's going to go from what just happened to going with Deuce. But my thinking is, you know, what do we do to kind of have Tibbs a little bit happy, right, in the sense of how do we create an environment for him to still feel that he can be competitive? And in that, I'm giving you Deuce at the starting five. Okay. With that, you have a backcourt that is defensive-minded, and that should go along with his competitive energy. So I'm going with that over quickly, and the reason for me is I just like quickly off the bench as a scorer, putting him in that spotlight as the starting point guard to me. I just don't see that as an option in the future. And with McBride, listen, why not? You know, he can play defense. He had two starts this season. I know one was against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who had 24 points on 23 shots, was 9 of 23. So I know a lot of people that night gave a lot of credit to SGA, but McBride played a lot of defense. And I just think at this point, man, why not? Like, he's going to give you more defense than Kemba. He's going to give you more defense than Burks. He's going to play hard. You know, Tibbs talks a lot about playing hard, a lot about energy. McBride, at the very least, even if he doesn't know where he's going to be at, he doesn't know how to rotate, blah, blah, blah. But you're going to get something that some other players on this team have not been able to give you. And off the bench, listen, I was back and forth between starting Cam and putting Grimes at the one with RJ at the two and Cam at the three. In the end, I decided to go Cam Reddish off the bench because if you look at that five, Reddish is the guy that gives you the shot creation. This is an opportunity for you to create an environment with Reddish, give him two shooters in Fournier and quickly, give him an athletic guy in Obi and Sims, and just let Reddish create. Let's see how he responds to being a focal point off the bench. Put him in that mindset of creating, of scoring, of being aggressive, and let's see how he responds to that. The only reason I have Fournier there, the only reason, is because when you look at Kemba, who obviously is not in this rotation, there's no future here. When you look at Burks, there's no future here. I'm done. Also, contractually, Fournier has an additional year. You have to play somebody. Like, you can't just go 100% kids. You got to play somebody that's a veteran. And with Fournier, who is shooting well from three, I got to give him that.
Thanks.
You got to, you know, continue to increase his value to eventually potentially move him. Or maybe this is his new role for this team in the next few years. Maybe his new role is coming off the bench and being a shooter. That's my mindset. That's how I would go.
All right. Next up. All right, he left Burks off the lineup, but it's all good. We got Alex up next. Alex is starting five, IQ. Quentin Grimes at the two. RJ at the three. Julius, Mitch, bench, Rose Hive, stand up. McBride at the two. Cam at the three. OB and Jericho Sims. Al, what's your thought process here?
All right, so my thought process here is that we're going to give the promotion to Emmanuel quickly. I think if you put Deuce McBride over him, I think just – aesthetically, I think that's a lot of red flags for a guy who's also been here. So I don't think I can see Tibbs just putting, although we have seen him do it, but I would like to see quickly get that shot. And I think for quickly, if you're already going to have two guys, especially with RJ Barrett and Julius Randle, who like to go downhill, that alleviates quickly's inability to go downhill and kind of opens him up to circle around from the perimeter. So it gives him more of his three-point shot opportunity again. You know, that's what Derrick Rose would help him do on that second unit, just by attacking the paint relentlessly. And if you have those two guys who can do it and find Emmanuel quickly, he can get his shot set. and just knock them down. Just same thing with Quentin Grimes. So you're giving two guys who are going to be bullies in the paint, and that's why you also have Grimes out there as another knockdown shooter. And I think him and Quick will work well together. I think both of them got good defensive intensity to guard guys on the perimeter as well. They're also just relentless at that when it comes to that play style. And then you're going to have Mitch up there as your big man, right? Because he can guard the pick and roll, a good rim protector. But I think this rotation, I think there's a really good balance between guys who can shoot from the perimeter, even though Quickly's had a down year. I think he does shoot well. You know, even looking at numbers, and even though it hasn't been Grimes, if you look at a lineup with Randall, Robinson, Barrett, Quickly, and Fournier, they've done that for 10 games. They've won 5 and lost 5, but the net rate, the offensive rating is 118.6. Good scoring output. So I think if you put Grimes in there, who can also knock down the three ball, I think you're still going to get quite a similar output, and they still have a net rating of 3.1. I think that can still transfer if you have this type of rotation in there. So that's why I'm looking from them. And then from the bench, I see that JD wanted to leave my guy out, Derrick Rose. All right, so it's okay. It's
Rose
okay.
High.
We can get back to that. But I'll stand for the Rose High. Or I got the jersey back there as well. You're going to have some veteran leadership, as JD said. Look, man, you need some sort of veteran out there to help guide everybody. And who else but Derrick Rose? I love Taj, but I want Sims out there to get some minutes, start developing in a setter. Okay. Obi Toppin, you know what we need out of him. He gives you that energy off the bench as well. Good rim runner. Great out in transition. That's what you need out of Toppin. Cam Reddish, he's just a tantalizing wing. You know, we keep talking about it on the show. He just gives you an offensive dimension that you don't have on the team. He's long, which is good for defensive purposes as well. And then working right next to Rose, Rose could have Deuce McBride. You can groom him. Rose could grind McBride as he was doing for Emmanuel Quickly last season. And I think they both can do the same thing, similar style. McBride has a good jumper. You know, get him out there working off ball as well, still working on ball as well. But Derrick Rose can kind of groom him, just weed that offense too. That way these kids who are out there aren't necessarily lost. They have some sort of veteran at the point guard position that can guide them and get them in the right positions. You know, we heard Obi Toppin last season as well, how he went to Derrick Rose, how Derrick Rose was like, just don't worry, just get your rebounds, get out in transition, I'll find you, don't worry. I feel like that can transfer to all these guys as well, and they're going to respect D-Rose for who he is as a player and what his name carries around the league. So that's why I'm going with this as my bench lineup.
Also notable, no Burks. Two lineups, two people, no Burks. And I can't wait for CP's lineup.
Also, let me respond real quickly to the Derrick Rose, because I did miss him. I didn't have Derrick Rose in my rotation because I'm going to be consistent with what I said a few months ago when I got tomatoes. And I said at that point that it's just time to move on, get him to a contender. If we're going to pivot, I just want to pivot fully. Also, the relationship with Tibbs and Rose, I just think if I put Rose in my lineup, Tibbs is going to overplay him, and it's just going to get away from what I want to accomplish with this young roster.
Okay. All right. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. So we got two lineups without my guy, Alec Burks, in there. Mr. Fourth Quarter.
I swear, if you have,
you know,
sounds like the music changed for this.
If you have Kemba in your starting five, bro, if you go with the same status quo, I might have to order a CAA hat myself.
All right, here's where I'm going, man. Since you guys want to keep Burks out of this thing, out of this potential turnaround, okay, you do so at your own peril. Because once Rose comes back, things could change. But for right now, I'm leaving him out of my lineup. I'm leaving him out of my rotation. Here's where I'm going. I'm going with IQ right now. Why? Kemba experiment, scrap. By default, he's out of there. Okay. McBride and IQ. Right now, I've seen, even though it hasn't been great, it's been up and down. This is the hardest position to come in and be an impact right away. We know Quickly is probably more of a six-man, more of a combo. We're talking about for right now. We have 20-something games left. We don't know the status of Rose. I don't even think he's sprinting right now. You put Quickly in at the point. More offensive chemistry with RJ and Julius. Offense picks up. You put him out there with 48. Can push the pace. Has shown some playmaking ability, and he's going to give you that spark. He's going to provide you that energy. Now, if we're going to be running the offense, whether it's through Julius or through RJ, then you're getting quickly more in an off-ball position anyway. And maybe that's a better spot for him than having to run an offense. Again, this is a Band-Aid situation. This is not for the future. This is for right now to finish the season. I'm going with quickly at the point. We don't yet know, just like we don't, some people don't think quickly's a point guard. We don't know if McBride's a point guard either. Let's keep it real. Miles McBride was drafted 36 in the draft. Why? He can shoot well. He defends at damn near an elite level. So why was Miles McBride drafted so late? Because they did not know his fit in the league. And part of that is, can he run an offense? Can he control the tempo? Can he push and transition? Those things are unclear. That is why you haven't seen McBride right now. And that was Tibbs' pick in the draft. So I'm balancing with a little fantasy hoops and a little realism. I'm rocking part CAA TV, part Knicks fan TV. I'm sprinkling in a little bit of both. I took out Burks, but even though he's going to be in there, trust and believe, Tibbs ain't taking him out that lineup. But I'm taking him out just for the sake of tonight. So I'm going quickly, RJ, Fournier's in there. Shooting 41% from three. He's been shooting a lot better. That was your prize acquisition. He's not going anywhere. Business is business. Fournier is sticking around, at least for the rest of the season. And I don't see him starting. And look, he could very well not finish games, right? We're just talking about starting lineup. Fournier could very well not finish games. Maybe it's Cam finishing games. Maybe it's Quentin Grimes finishing games. But to start the game, Fournier's locked in. Julius, Mitch, locked in. Now, off the bench, until Rose comes back, now I'm going to give McBride an extended look as a backup. I'm rocking my CAA TV. I'm in the mind of Tom Thibodeau, like Professor X. He wants to put McBride out there against the backups in a position where he can succeed. So now you're going to have him. You're going to have Grimes, Cam. I'm bringing Obi in there, and I'm going with Jericho. I'm telling Nerlens Noel, I'm changing the address to Madison Square Garden. Don't come back. Taj, forget about it. You're going to be holding the clipboard, coach's assistant. I'm going with Jericho at the five. I like that. I'm getting some defense. I'm getting some shooting off the bench. I'm getting some energy. It's balanced. My lineup is balanced. And I'm leaving Burks off there, which would endear me with the fans. So I'm doing a little bit of everything, even though Burks is likely not leaving that lineup. This is my lineup. It's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of everything.
Well, having Fournier up there is like having Burks. So hold on. Let me ask you this, though, because
yeah.
I think you slick. So you're saying Woj said Rose might be back this Friday. So let's say he's not, right, to give your lineup a chance, your rotation, and McBride gets those minutes.
Yeah.
Let's say Rose is back in 3-4 games.
Yeah.
That means under your lineup, McBride is back out of the rotation.
He's going to be out. I think you don't see McBride until this team is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
And that's
realistically
that's
Rose is playing. Rose is absolutely going to play. He's not going to start. People in the chat are going, we need to start. He's not going to start. He's going to come off the bench, back in his role. I think Burks is going to be back in there. But McBride, I don't think you see McBride until this team is mathematically eliminated.
And you putting Grimes back on the bench for 48.
Yeah. Grimes is back on the bench. Grimes is back on the
bench.
But again, he could close games. I could need him for his defense. If his shot is on the money that game, Grimes could very easily close games. Grimes has proven to be a favorite of Tibbs. He's not going anywhere in this rotation. He's just not going to start just yet.
You see Grimes as a future starter on this team.
For sure.
In other words,
sure.
Next year.
For sure. For sure. I see Grimes and RJ as a future, as the future wings on this team. Until we do better. You know, until we do better. I see Grimes and RJ as the future wings of this team. But Grimes can very easily close games for this team, depending on what the situation calls for.
You went with Fournier over Burks.
I made the tough decision. You know, I made the executive decision. Again, it's a little bit of fantasy basketball, a little bit of realism. But in reality, I don't even know if Burks is coming out that rotation. He's been a Tibbs fan favorite. He could be the starting point guard on Friday.
Is your Burks card membership still valid after this one?
I will say CP's lineup is more trending towards my nightmare as a fan, like the fan side, because like when you really think about it, it's like he doesn't have Burks on his lineup, but he doesn't see Burks being out of the lineup. So that means someone else has to be taken out of there. And then when Rose comes back, McBride has to be taken out of there. So I'm looking at it, we're back to square one.
Yeah. Back to the Vets.
You know what I mean? Like, we're back to square one. Really, the only real change you could really see here is Kemba being out and whoever replaces it. That's really it. Rose comes back, you expect them to play, I guess. If you don't think Burks and Fournier are going to be out, then they're going to play. And if they're going to play, I see Thibodeau playing them a lot. So when you really think about it, what is the real change?
The point.
This is why I'm... Man, I'm making a move. Forget all that. I'm removing a coach that has personal attachment to a few of these players. I'm not doing that.
And the chat is voting. Right now, the chat is voting. And JD taking a narrow 45% to 42% lead. Who's line up to finish the season? The chat is voting right now.
You want to put my lineup back up there?
Yeah.
Let's stop swinging the vote. You just want to leave yours up there so people can really think about it.
Let's throw it back up there. Hold up. All right, let's throw it back up
there. Hey, put mine up there, man.
Yeah,
come
I'm going to rotate everybody's up there. So JD's
Alex, like,
five.
I
want to
get some votes, too.
Yeah, JD, come on, man.
JD's five once again. Deuce, Grimes, RJ, Julius, and Mitch. Bench, IQ, Fournier, Reddish, Obi, and Jericho.
That rotation does not blow a 28-point lead against the Brooklyn Nets. Guarantee you that. McBride himself just gets a stop or two that makes a difference.
I would certainly hope so, man.
The problem is when you're up that much, you're just looking for energy. Usually when teams come back on you, it's the energy just goes down. You get lax. You fall into the same thing. That's why sometimes you make a few changes and you know, you're able to
Well, that's why if you want to keep the pace going, you got to have Emmanuel quickly out there.
Facts.
With Quentin Grimes, man. Facts. With Quentin Grimes. No. You got Fournier out there. You got to have Quentin Grimes out there, too, to push the pace, man. All right? You got to have that equal balance of guys who can attack the paint and shoot from the perimeter. That way you can keep those 20-point leads. And guess what? You bring in that second unit led by D. Rose. You want to talk about getting out in transition and still having that killer second unit. You're just making one change, really. That's IQ and Juice McBride.
And my thinking with Grimes is, you know, I'm looking at the Desmond Bane trajectory. You know, once you know, like, that's why I asked CP, do you see Grimes as a future two? If you see him as a future two and he's starting now and he's playing the way he's playing now, I just keep him in there. And I think this is the opportunity to pivot and just go with your future in terms of him specifically at the two. It's a little tricky because I personally think RJ's best position is the two. My opinion, I think RJ's best position is the two. But in this case, you know, everyone's going to have to adapt.
And Alex is five once again. IQ, Grimes, RJ, Julius, Mitch off the bench. Rose High, who could be coming back on Friday. Miles McBride, Cam, Obi, and Jericho. And then my lineup for the last time. And we're going to take some calls in a minute. My lineup for the last time is... Where is my lineup? Oh, here it is. IQ, RJ, Fournier, Julius, Mitch off the bench, McBride, Rose, McBride, Grimes, Reddish, Obi, and Sims. All right, so vote in the chat. Let's get to the phones. Fredo, what's good, bro?
Gentlemen, I really need a safe place to vent, man.
Hey, man, you've come to the right place, my guy. What's going on?
All right, man. I mean, we went from 50 wins this season to looking like we're going to hit 50 losses. So I'm calling it the reverse fear burger, man.
Yeah.
Stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, Tibbs deserves a lot of smoke. These players deserves a lot of smoke. But the person I'm calling about today that I feel like ain't getting enough smoke is Leon Rose. I feel like the way that he's handling this situation right now is it's just like it's disturbing. It's disappointing, and it's flat-out disrespectful to the fans. He hasn't came and talked to us since I think September or August. And I remember him saying he was going to be very aggressive, and I put a lot of faith behind him. And the fact that this trade deadline has passed and he hasn't said anything to us, anything, and the fans are fighting with each other about the direction of this team. People don't know what's going on. Now you have the front office leaking things about Tibbs. The fact that he's leaving Tibbs out there to take all these arrows, which some of them he deserves, but the fact that he's handling it this way is this, it's gutless to me. And I'm extremely disappointed and angered by the way he's handling it. And I just, he needs to step up and he needs to come out and put a statement out, because at the end of the day, this is the team that him and his guys put together for Tibbs. And I don't understand how we're letting him get away with this. And it's just, it really like, we need to call him out, and his feet need to be held to the fire. He needs to be held accountable for this. It's gone on way too far, and I'm just really, really upset about it. So,
good point.
Guys, thanks for letting me vent. Have a good night.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's a good point, man. I think at the very least, you know, I wouldn't expect anything now, but at the end of the season, you need to come out with kind of a state of the union. You know, what happened, where are you going, and what we need to look forward to. You know, this is the adversity for Leon as his first year. I mean, the second year in this position. Yes, last year was roses. This year, not so much. No pun intended, but he should address it. He should address it, man. There's a lot going on this year. You know, he should definitely come forward at the end of the season. I don't expect anything now with you know, 20-something games left, but at the end of the season for sure. Nate from Rochester. Nate, what's going on?
Yeah, got me?
Yep, loud and clear.
All right. I don't really got much. I just want to know, what is the expectation for McBride? Because I'm really kind of confused to see why our fan base is, like, so enamored with him.
When everybody, Nate, man. We are hives of everybody. We know that, man. We know that.
It's fine. Like, honestly, I don't want to see Kemba. I'm fine with McBride playing because right now our season is kind of lost, you know? So, like, we might as well see what we got. But, like, we're only citing, like, G League numbers and one game against the Thunder. And
no, even that game against the Rockets. The Rockets game is impressive.
Oh, the Rockets, right.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about the Thunder game because I know JD brought up the fact that Shai Gilgeous went 9-23.
Mm-hmm.
But what really killed us that game was the dribble penetration and, like, all the threes that the team was hitting. And, like, mm-hmm. that's not all on McBride, but, like, you know, it's like we got to look at stuff like that. And I'm looking at a league where, like, we have Cade Cunningham, we have LaMelo Ball, we have Luka Doncic. Like, point guards are getting taller, and we're looking at a guy that's, like, undersized to be, like, our point guard of the future. It's like, I just don't – I don't want him to, like, fail. Like, I want him to be here, but, like, I just don't have a high expectation for him. It's like, we need a guy with, like, talent. All right, we're looking towards our second-round picks to save this team. Like, what are we doing?
Well,
like,
I wouldn't – well, I hear that. Of course. And I don't think anybody's, you know, under the illusion of saving the team, but it's just a matter of, can we see what this guy can do? You look at teams like Toronto, and every single one of their guys, you know, Delano Blanton's of the world, every single one of those guys are getting opportunities at some point or another to get into these games. So I think it's just fans want to see. Yes, the Houston game left you wanting to see what can he do with a larger sample size.
Can I respond?
Yeah, jump in.
Okay, so answering his first question, why do the fans like McBride?
Mm-hmm.
For the same reason, I think the answer to that is for the same reason that fans are attached to Grimes, for the same reason that the fans are attached to any Knicks player that gets drafted and has some of the characteristics and on-court traits that symbolizes the city, which is grit, which is toughness.
Yeah.
Which defense. Is energy, which is defense. We go so crazy over those things that sometimes we don't even care if the player can play offense.
Right.
Like, that's how this city is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't even care if the guy can shoot or not. If you can do that, I remember the Junkyard Dog
mm-hmm.
was like a fan favorite mm-hmm. just because of those things. So it's just so easy. And it's because of the city, the way people that are in New York, the way we live our lives, you know, stressful city, stressful just to go to work,
gritty.
A lot of stuff. So it's fast-paced city. So McBride gives you that. The second thing is he asked,
what are your expectations of McBride? Like I said, I'm looking into next season, and you mentioned this, CP, where this is going to be an offseason where Leon Rose is going to have some pressure. I'm already looking, I'm already dreaming about McBride, Jaden Ivey, McBride, Jalen Brunson, McBride, Malcolm Brogdon. In other words, my expectations of McBride, or what I would like for him to develop into, is the backup guard. To the point where, you know, the way Quickly is struggling, listen, not everybody that you draft is going to be on this team. And the way I look at it is Quickly needs to start to play better, because if McBride gets an opportunity, I don't know that another head coach would want two small guards in the backcourt, whether it's off the bench or starting, mm-hmm. right? So to me, I'm looking at McBride and giving him an opportunity now, and his ceiling for the Knicks is maybe he can be the backup,
yeah.
not a starter. I don't see him as a starter or saving the keys, because I think if they felt that way, he would have been starting already.
It's fast.
And that's that.
Allie,
yeah, I agree with that. I think the thing for, like, why we're enamored, like, it's the same things, like, for Frank Ntilikina, you know, Amon Shumpert, like, all these guys that J.D. pointed out, defense. Defense is what we want for this team was oriented. Like, we love last season's team because they were a gritty defensive team. So I agree with that 100%. And same thing with, like, the same point goes for, like, J.D. Like, no one's looking for McBride to be the savior. We're intrigued by what McBride can be, because we just want to see him on the court. We have such a small sample size. We already know what Kemba is. And so we're clamoring for McBride, because it's like, all right, we already know that Kemba's not going to play defense. You don't know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis from him offensively. Why not give it to somebody who's going to play defense, know that already, and then if his offense comes around, so be it. That's really why.
Yeah. Couldn't say it better myself. Dark Horse on the Discord. Dark Horse, let's go.
Hey, what's up, fam? Can y'all hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. What's going on? He's speechless, man. It's a good show. It's a great show. All right, Dark Horse. I don't know what else to tell him, man. All right, we got to put Mo Ball in on the queue. And in the meantime, we'll wait for Mo to catch up. And Mo, just hang tight. I want to get to the phones real quick. Area code 954, 954. What's going on? What's your name? Where are you calling from? 954, going once.
Yo, yo.
Yo. What's up? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, my name is Bates from Harlem.
Bates, what's going on? Bates, oh. Bates, are you on speakerphone, man?
Yeah, you want me to take it off the speaker?
Please do that, brother. Please do that. No speakerphone. Gotcha.
My bad. But anyway, I think, yo, listen, you got, I'm a first-time caller, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to congratulate you, CP, on the everything that you accomplished.
Appreciate
it,
man.
Great job. I've been watching you for years, man. That's what I want to say, first of all.
Much appreciated.
Now, you guys are totally wrong. If you CP, you say you're a Knicks fan, right? What have we been crying for years?
Point guard.
A point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you put IQ in that position when he's mm-hmm. really not a point guard? We all know he's not a point guard. We see him running a point guard.
It's optional.
But listen, we know for a fact that Miles is a point guard.
No,
play
no.
the kid. That's nope. all he has to do. If he plays him, we will see. We can make that decision, because no matter what, listen, Tibbs is out of here. No matter what, because once Wes started pointing the fingers at him, unless they could pull off a miracle, Tibbs is out of here. You know it. I know it. We all know it. He's out of here. He's gone. But my starting – can I give out my starting five?
Of course.
And then I'm out.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so my starting five would be – it would be Niles. It would be Grimes. It would be RJ.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch and Randall. That's my starting five.
Okay.
Off the bench, I'm coming with Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming with Derrick Rose, IQ, Cam, and Obi and Sims. But okay. I don't know if Tibbs is going to do that. That, you know what I'm saying? Like that, it's like I'm hoping and praying that that's what he do, because he got 23 games left. If he don't pull off this miracle and put that lineup in, he out of here. Because Wes already started pointing the finger at him.
Nah, you're right. You definitely right, man. Appreciate the call. Bates on the checking. Appreciate it, man. Bates on the checking.
In Harlem fashion.
Yes. That's a fact. Shout out to Bates, man.
And I know because I'm from Harlem.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. 100%, man. 100%. You can tell from a mile away. Look, I think, as I've said, if Deuce McBride was everything that people are painting him out to be, he would not be drafted that late. And he would be starting right now. He would be playing right now. We had Berman on the show. Berman told us this was Tibbs' pick. This was his pick. Tibbs is telling you he does not trust him. It's plain to see, ladies and gentlemen. Plain to see, to the point where he's throwing in a hodgepodge combination of Kemba, who can't get it done, and Alec Burks, who's not a point guard. He's telling you that he does not trust the kid yet. McBride was a true point. He would not have been selected 36th. I mean, I'm saying, the guy can defend. He can knock down a tray. So what is the issue? Where's his weakness? His weakness is playmaking at the guard spot. Read all the scouting reports. Watch the scouting reports that we did. We showed you right here on Knicks Fan TV, Court Vision. We broke it down for you. The scouts broke it down to you from Wasserman on down. They broke it down for you. That I spoke to McBride about that. All of that is content on KFTV. I said, Miles, what are you working on this offseason? I want to work on my playmaking. I want to work on my pick and roll playmaking. I want to work on my playmaking. That's what I'm going to be working on, what the coach wants me to do. All of that is out there for you. I think it's still question marks. That's just my two cents on it. Do I want to see him play? Yes. But I'm saying the reason why you haven't is because I don't think Tibbs is sold on him to run the point. Go ahead, JD. Go ahead. And I want to get to Mo. Go ahead.
I agree with you on the assessment of, you know, the draft, all that stuff, the scout reports, and where he was drafted, why he was drafted there, and the questions that remain of him being that guard. I don't necessarily agree that he hasn't played because of that. I just think because Grimes is also his pick, and people like to forget that the only Grimes broke into the rotation because of the health and safety protocol stuff.
Yes.
There were circumstances that actually led to Grimes getting the opportunity. A lot of people forget that. A lot of people say, yeah, he's playing well. Yes, some of the kids are playing, but a lot of what's happened is because of circumstances. I don't think, if you look at the evidence, and Tibbs is giving you all the evidence, if this would have been a 100% healthy season, or not 100%, but if the health and safety protocol stuff was not a part of it, I don't think Grimes is where he's at right now. As a player, maybe, and definitely not in minutes. I think the circumstance has allowed that. So was he not sold on Grimes being a starting two guard? Because he's starting now. So I think, yes, the analysis is correct on McBride, even if he plays, but I don't think he hasn't played because of that. I just think it's Tibbs, which is way of building a player up and coaching and all that stuff in terms of rotations.
Well, I also think, too, it comes back to Kemba Walker as well, because Kemba was out of that rotation as well when Deuce was able to come back in. And now with the whole – he had Kemba's resurgence, especially during December, where he was playing well, right? He had the triple-double, the 40-point game, and so forth. Tibbs then got backlash from that. You heard Jamal Crawford and all other players talk about how Kemba should be back in the rotation. So I think if you want to see McBride too there, unless Kemba is missing in action, which hasn't been the case recently, you're not going to see Deuce McBride either. And I think Tibbs' hand is stuck with playing Kemba Walker for right now as well.
All right, a couple more calls, and then we'll wrap with our all-star. Mo Ballin on the Discord. Mo, can you hear us, Mo? I saw Mo was trying to call on the switchboard. He must be having an issue on the Discord. I got bars tonight. Okay. Don't let that go over your head, Alex and JD. Don't let that go over your head. That was so smooth. That was so smooth, man. I'm freestyling on my show tonight. Let's go. King D's on the Discord. When you hear us, go ahead and I'll mute your microphone.
Yo, run it up. Yo, salute. I hope everybody's enjoying the weekend. I am, man.
What's good, bro?
Yo, shout out to the 75 years. I know it got nothing to do with the Knicks, but I enjoyed this weekend, man. I enjoyed the history lessons. I enjoyed watching the brunch, Legends Brunch, all that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to talk the real Knicks, man.
Listen, man.
Alex, I love you. JD, I love you. You my guy. But listen, after that 50 burger opening night, I told you it was a downhill experience. Everybody's giving my man CP slack for being the most realistic lineup that Tibbs is going to play. The dream scenarios are over. Like, I'm sorry. I love y'all. But I was in a chat like 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. I'm trying to let y'all know. Tibbs is fighting for his life right now. And you know what's funny about it? Because CP just expressed it before I got on. McBride is his pick. And Grimes, he had a vote for Grimes in that